about the ministry there in the northern part of Brazil, and we'd be glad to do that after the service. Just real quick, I told the pastor before the service that what we're here for is to encourage you through what has been going on in the land of Brazil these days. I can't show you what really happens. You'd have to be there to experience it. You'd have to know the smell and the heat and the other things. But there are some disadvantages, of course, to the living 3 degrees off the equator. But it's a wonderful place, really, as we were born and raised there, and the Lord has taken us back there to work. One of the things that I think that is so deeply moving to us there is the fact of how the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people's lives. And it not only does that here in America, but it does that in Brazil also. And this evening, I'm going to just share with you just a couple of verses, and then I'm going to go in and tell you a little bit about what that has done through what your church here has been involved in, how that's affected and impacted the people there in the cities and the areas there in northern Brazil. Isaiah chapter 42 this evening, verse 6 and 7 is our text. And just want to read two verses, and then I'm going to use that as other means of which to bring to you the changes that the Word of God has made, especially among the tribes that have never heard. This is something that we've got into recently. We've prayed for many, many years and asked God to let us be a part of ministering to nations that have never heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that has come about. We thought it was going to take 20 years, and it took about 2 years. How God is good. He moved. We had some of the most difficult times we've ever had these last 3 years. You saw the pictures there of Barcelos, of the empty building there. That's the way we received that building. If you read our prayer letters, you know that we struggled for 2 years with that situation. But from 140 members, that church went down to nothing. And the Colts tore it apart. But we received the property back, and God was good to us. And there are 70 people now back in that church. Half the membership's back in there. It was the biggest church there along the river. That's 280 miles upriver from the city of Manaus, this town. But we had a lot of trials, but God really blessed us. We've had some difficulties with finances. Of all your missionaries across the world, you know that's happened. We personally lost about 60% of our buying power in the land of Brazil today. And all your missionaries there, and especially in Latin America, will say the same thing. So you pray for your missionaries. Don't let your missionaries just be a tiny little pin on a huge world map. Remember them in prayer. I believe that is the most foundational part in missions. Money is just paper, you see. I believe that. But prayer is the power of God. I believe that. And so you pray for your missionaries. Please pray for us. If you haven't got our prayer card, they're back there. And I'm sorry to say my wife's not able to be here today. I wish you could have been. Maybe she'll be able to come after the first year. We might be able to make a visit. But let's just read these two verses. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of the prisoners from the prison, and them that are sit in darkness out of the prison house. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for the opportunity is ours to share these words tonight. And these are a few minutes that we have left. We thank you for this church and what it means to us, what encouragement our churches are to us when we come back and are able to report how the people are behind us. We know that. We feel that. We thank you for men and women that even though they've never seen these people, they love them. And we thank you for the part that we've played in this all. And we thank you for your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's hard for a missionary to show you and demonstrate what effect that the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has on people. I want to just relate here in the next few minutes. We only have about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So I want to relate to you a little bit about how this gospel has changed people. 7 years ago, we received from one of the interior areas, 7 days travel from Manaus. We don't know how far that is in miles or kilometers. We just gauge it in days traveled. A man and his family came down from the Waiwai tribe. The Waiwai are in Guyana and Brazil and a little bit of French Guyana and Suriname. And they came down and he was really excited about going to school. It was the first person we had from the Waiwai tribe come in. And he began his studies. His wife got cancer. He had to skip three semesters, and that's why it took him so long to finish. We have a three-year course there, but he had to skip three semesters. He's been graduated now for a little bit more than a year, and now he has graduated, and God has called him and his brother-in-law to take the gospel not only to his own tribe, the YY people, but also to the Zoe tribe. Now, the Zoe tribe are very primitive people, and I've mentioned this in our prayer letters, but what I didn't say was that the first time they took the gifts in, that's the way you make contact, and these people are very Stone Age, primitive. They took some hammocks, and the Indians were sleeping forward to a bark hammock. Now, that's not a very good thing, I guarantee. They took hammocks in and machetes and axes and things like that, things of useful, especially clothes. Well, the Indian agent found out about it. He made them pile all their things and gifts and threw gasoline on them and burn it because they wanted them to maintain their ways, their ancient ways. But the second time he went in, he had more luck. And I won't tell you. I don't have the time to tell you how that came about. But this time that the chief, because of that first contact that they had and the anger he had, for the Indian agent, has opened the door for them to come and preach the gospel to the whole entire tribe. Isn't that wonderful? You see, through your missions program here, you're sharing the gospel with people that have never heard, never had a chance, that live deep in the jungle. These people live 9 days from Manaus, up the rivers. Not only that, but I've been praying personally for 20 years now for the White Media Atroadi tribe. The Waimea de Atroadi live between the state of Roraima and the state of Amazonas, our state. The road that runs up to Bill and Sharon Smith's place where they work up there runs through 127 kilometers of their reserve. The Waimea de Atroadi for 30 to 40 years have been the most violent Indian tribe of Brazil. Beside the Xingu and the Caceteros and a few other ones that are well known also, the Waimea de have never allowed anyone to come in and live with them and teach them anything. The last time the Catholic Church tried that, there were 9 that went in. And he had 2 woodsmen. I don't know what they call those people here. They're people that are very good at living in the jungle and all. And the night that they were there, the Waimea de received them. And there were some social workers there and things. And the two people, the woodsmen, they decided to go hang their hammocks in the trees in the jungle and not sleep among them. There, where they had separated them out in a little hut. And during the night, about 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, the Waimea de came in and killed all those 7 people in there. That was the last time, 9 years ago, that they tried to make contact with them. Well, these people have never had anybody to share anything with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what we found out, and mind you, I've been praying for 20 years about this, I wanted God send us the Waimea de for us to train here at the Institute where we'll be able to help him go back to his people and win his tribe. Well, God always does things way better than you can imagine. What we found out was that while Fernando was there, Makati is his name in the YY language, this same man that went to the Zoé tribe, he was in contact with some Waimeres there inside the city of Manaus, and all of a sudden we found out that this is very influential people in the tribe, and he got a personal invitation to go share the gospel of the Waimere Atroadi now. So now they're finishing with the Zoé. Now they're going to go over the Waimea de Atroadi. They'll be the first time ever anybody's ever shared the gospel with those people. What a blessing that is. Now, there's another tribe that comes from Colombia called the Huaricanas. I've written about them too. Marcidio was up at his community. He was sitting on the bank of the river and sitting on the benches that they have there. That's the only entertainment they have, is watch the river flow by. That's the sum total of entertainment when they're out and they're working the jungle forest, you know, for the things they need to eat. And he received word from one of his kinfolk up Tunuwikashwit up on the Xie River that the elder there in the church needed help. And so he looked around and he said, you know, his father-in-law told him, you can't go because your house is unfinished, your garden's overgrown, and that's a very important thing there. You have no food to leave for your wife. Your youngest son is sick. You have no money. How could you go? Well, God kept touching him in his heart. And finally, he came down to the city of San Gabriel. We called down to Manaus and he shared with us his burden. And because churches like you give, we were able to send him the money. And gasoline's $14 a gallon up there. We sent him the money up there to get his little engine, get on his canoe, and go up there to shift 4 days, I believe 4.5 days, up to Tunicashuit, a little past there, where he was there, and all of a sudden, God opened the door because the Wadakena tribe came out of Colombia. And the Wadakena speak Ingatu, which is Marcidi's language. It's a general trade language of South America. He got to be the first one to witness those people. What a blessing that three people got saved that day. A couple and one young man. Well, that couple, this was about a year ago almost, that couple came down and are studying at the Bible Institute in San Gabriel. Now, they're going to go back and win that entire tribe, I believe. That's wonderful what the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ does when we obey. That was a step of faith from our Savior, but God blessed him. Then there's Alberto, as you read in our prayer letters also. He's up at Siusi Cachoeira, or the Cachoeira, the Rapids, Star Rapids it's called in the Baniwa language. He's up there now. They've been working on making the school there livable. You saw some of the buildings there. They've got the dormitory started, and it's really exciting there because there are six major tribes in that area. Colombia and Brazil there. It's where four rivers come together. Very important strategic location. God's opened the door there now that they would be able to teach those men and women, that they would go out and not only win the Baniwas, the Curipacos, and the Tucanos, which are the people that belong in the land of Brazil, they live there, but also the tribes that are up in the lower part of Colombia and upper Isana River. What an opportunity. The other day he got an invitation. And he was there at his house, and a man came down from San Joaquin, which is a community up on the upper Isana River. Came down, got out of his canoe, and came up and relayed the message to Alberto. He said, the Tushawa from San Joaquin wants you to come up to his community. And then he got back in his canoe and left. And that's what we call voicemail, by the way. You've got yours here. We've got ours down there. But he got up there and he went up and was visiting there. The Tushawa, the general chief there, had him come in. And he said, you know, we've been observing your community of Siusi Cachoeira. And we've been watching the way you live in peace. The way you guys get along, the way you have your conferences there, 1,500 people will be there to conference and won't have one incident with fighting or drinking or anything else. And so he said, we've been admiring you. And actually this man was a witch doctor also. He's a pajé, they say. He's not on Tushao, but he's a pajé Tushao, which means witch doctor, elder leader there in the tribe and of that community. He said, you know what, we're tired of making our kashiri, which is their whiskey that they make from manioc root, and they let it ferment 24 hours, and it's the most horrible smelling stuff you've ever seen. They let it ferment, and then they drink it 24 hours later, and of course, you know, it's just like drinking whiskey. They start fighting and cutting themselves each other with machetes and all that. He said, we're tired of all that. We want you to come up and bring what you have down to your community, down from your church to our church. Well, he got saved, and five other adults and some children on that trip, and they started a little church there now that he goes in between semesters when he's not teaching there at CUC. You see, the gospel is everything to people that have nothing like them. They have no hope. The gospel is the world changing, life changing, and soul changing power. In gospel-soaked America, we've probably forgotten about that, haven't we? We can go and pick a church. I think in Adalsport, we're there, like 600 or 700 churches. We don't have 525 in all of Brazil. We have the gospel here. To us, it's everywhere. It's on the radio, I guess. It's maybe on television, I don't know. I haven't seen too much of that, but it means everything down in Brazil. You see, because the gospel changes people's lives. It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference culturally. Our people, of course, have all kinds of different cultures. We have 254 people groups in Brazil. That means tribes. Basically 180 languages plus some of our other dialects. So we have a complicated situation down there. But one thing that unites all these people is that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear this. Now in Manaus, we have 34 churches now functioning. This is our network that we have made, and our national missionaries are coming in from the tribal areas. They're raising support among our churches, and they're going back into their areas and are reaching those people. Places, frankly, where you just can't get there from here. You know what I mean? So you see, Cachoeira, what I showed you there, that's 12 days travel above Manaus. You saw some of those rapids there. Those aren't the worst ones that you have to pass. One of those stretches, there's 37 of those you have to pass to get to where you're going. There's all kinds of difficulties and problems. The gospel changes people culturally. It leaves their old culture of the pajelunsi, it's called, of the witch doctorness. That would be literally translated. Well, they forget they don't have to fear the God of the river, Libiri, or the God of the jungle, Yuruparia. They need to fear God who made heaven and earth. And see, this is what the gospel does. So culturally, it liberates them. It pulls them out of the prison house. Prisoners is what they are. That's what the scripture says. They're prisoners. It liberates them from sin, from themselves. Also, we have that too. Human nature is the same everywhere you go. Now, our people look a little different than y'all do. They talk a little bit different. They eat a whole lot of different. I prefer American food. I mean, I won't bore you with all the things that we have to eat and put up with down there. But it doesn't matter. I lived there 50 years. I still don't like them. But anyway, they're different in this way, but they're all equal. They think they have the same needs, they have the same emotional, spiritual needs, and God has changed them that way through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Changed them. They're not bound by sin anymore because gospel liberates people from their cultural beliefs, from themselves, from their fears. But the most wonderful thing the gospel does, I think, of course, is saves people and gives them an eternal home in heaven. Now, as I think the State Department ought to issue you a letter of commendation every year for all the wonderful things you do all around the world through your missionaries. You see, you're sowing seeds of kindness, of things. You're changing the world through missions. Changing the world through missions. Missions is a rescue operation. It frees the captives of sin. We have drug addiction down there too. They just call it by different names. Even in the deep jungle, the people that work with the drugs, the pajes and their assistants, the witch doctors, they have padu, which is something like cocaine. They have parika. They have all kinds of things. They even have poison that they poison each other with once in a while. And they get all kinds of things going on. Sometimes they're sick for a week after they take these things. They need to be freed from that, and the gospel will do that. Shut up in darkness. There are people in darkness even here in America. The more I travel, the more I feel the presence of the evil one here in America. Now that's strange. Darkness is settling on the land. It used to be only places like Flagstaff and Arizona and Sedona, Arizona that you'd feel that. But you feel a lot now if you'll pay attention. You'll feel it. Makes your hair stand on end, or in my case, whatever, what's left of it, you know, but it's very, very big problem here in America. You walk in some homes in America, and how incredible as it may seem, they don't even know who Jesus is. It's incredible. Imagine a place that, of course, like Brazil, where they've never had anybody share anything with them about God. And as I think about the practicality of how things have changed, when the gospel comes in, people live in peace with each other. I'm reminded of two ladies, Judy and Kathy. They spent 34 years among the Machinete tribe translating the New Testament in their language. We've helped them the best we can. They live way far away, more than 1,000 miles. But when they come into town, we've tried to help them. We try to help them. Man, they're doing something good, so we're going to help them. Doesn't matter if they don't belong to our mission, or we don't care about that. We're in the business of promoting God's kingdom, not our own empire. And these two ladies were talking about the situation. Some Indians had come into their tribe, and then some from another tribe, and they were living in peace there because they'd heard the gospel. And Then they had some anthropologists come up from southern Brazil with a group of six of their students, and they started asking them, why do you have these white people here among you and doing this? Why are you letting them be in here? They're messing up your old ways, and you know." And they said, "Well, listen, these people are like our mothers." Well, that's the huge biggest compliment you could ever pay to anyone in Brazil, to be called a mother of these two ladies. Then they kept this, goading them and say, "You got to go back to the old ways. You need to go back to dancing dabucuri, which is a drug-induced stupor that they go into and all that, and ends up a lot of times in violence." And finally, Chico had had enough. He said, "Look," he said, "those people have brought us the gospel. It's changed us. We live in peace now with these other people we used to fight with." And he said, "Anyway, if you want us to go back the way we were before we had the gospel, all of you six would be in the pot cooking for supper." So that was the end of that conversation. You see, the gospel changes people in all sorts of ways, even practically. And in closing tonight, I just want to share with you something that is very dear to my heart. As I would sit in one of the conferences there in one of our rivers, where it'd be the Isana or the Rio Negro or the Maria or any of the tributaries, they have Bible conferences. I'm thinking of one in particular up in the Castanheirinho. There were several hundred people there, maybe almost 1,000. That may surprise you, but the gospel spread out among those people a lot. It's been done wonderful work among them. And I was sitting there at Castanheirinho at the conference, and I looked out on that congregation, and I picked out the Baniwa tribe and the Curipacu tribe, and I just thought, I was amazed that they would sit and intermingle among themselves. Now, the women sit on one side and the men on the other, you understand. That's the way they do that. But I mean, they're intermingled. Well, these people used to enslave each other, kill each other, and eat each other years ago. Now they're fellowshipping together. Then over here, there's Camans, and over here, there's Makunadeb tribe, and scattered out all these tribes. They're together. This is a miracle that they're together in one spot. They're not hurting each other or trying to take something from each other. Then there's something else. They're singing together. And what are they singing? One of their favorite songs is a little song called Arequana Surisawa. Arequana Surisawa is a song in a Yingatu language that basically it's Isaiah 42, verse 7. It says that I am, translated literally, I am very happy, or deeply happy in my heart, because Jesus reached down, grabbed hold of me and pulled me out of the prison house. He pulled me out and He set me free. You see, that's the effect of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He sets people free. You know, as you think about your church, as impressive as this beautiful building is and all your congregation is and is growing, it's wonderful. But, you know, a Heritage Baptist Church just doesn't sit right here. Its extension is way further than just this property. And I'm very impressed with your property. And this is wonderful. This is beautiful. But you see, this church is like an iceberg, you see. And it's not because it's cold. Let me explain. An iceberg is only 10% above and 90% below. You see, all across the world today, people are meeting in churches because Heritage Baptist Church has invested in their lives. This is only a little bit. What you see here is only a small part of the ministry of this church, as it spreads the gospel out throughout, changing the whole world, changing people's lives culturally, practically, spiritually. What a wonderful thing it is to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for the part that you've had in our ministry. And I'm just glad to be the people on the ground. And I'm glad to be your channel there and representing your church there in the Amazon region. Pray for us. Pray for my wife. Pray for our family. My wife, my sister-in-law, Betty's got cancer. She's had some issues there. So you pray for her in particular. And God bless you folks. And keep on keeping on. Thank you.